Hi, you're listening to Free to Live, the media ministry of Calvary Chapel of Chestertown.
Let's turn in our Bibles to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, beginning in verse 21. Leaving off where we left off last week. Now, when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. And when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed, and she will live." And so Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. So Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue in the town, the coastal town of the Sea of Galilee, known as Capernaum, a real place. The ruins of the synagogue where Jesus taught are still there. And Jairus was not a Pharisee. He was a local man in the synagogue in Capernaum. Being a leader, it would have placed him in the upper leadership level, in the circle, as ones who criticized Jesus. And now we see Jairus falling before Jesus, pleading with him, "Come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed, and she will live." Now, can you imagine anyone, any person, saying this sentence to anyone except Jesus? Jairus was a very important person in the village of Capernaum. Probably a very wealthy man, but he was desperate. His daughter was dying. It's urgent. It's urgent that Jesus come to her quickly. And it certainly speaks of the faith of Jairus, the faith he had in Jesus to heal his daughter. Now, a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years, and had suffered many things from many physicians. And she had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. And when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, "If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well." So these two people simultaneously come to Jesus for a reason, but they could not have been further apart socially. See, Jairus, he was famous, well known. This woman was anonymous. We don't even know her name. Jairus was wealthy. This woman lived in poverty. Jairus was a ruler of the synagogue, while the woman couldn't even attend the synagogue, according to the law. Jairus and her 12-year-old daughter filled his home with laughter. For 12 years, this woman, she lived in misery. Leviticus chapter 15, verse 25, it declares, "This woman with the flow of blood for 12 years was unclean according to the law of Moses." So what does this mean? Well, it means where she slept was unclean. Anyone who touched her was declared unclean. And wherever this woman sat down, was declared unclean. Because of her condition, she could never take part in Israel's worship. So you couldn't have two people any further apart than these two, except for one thing. Both needed a touch from God. In verse 27, when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, "If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well." And even as this woman pushed through the crowd to get to Jesus, probably thousands of people, it was packed. To add to all this, the law declares she wasn't even to be in the crowd. So while she approached Jesus, everyone she bumped into was technically unclean. And when she touched the hem of Jesus' garment, Jesus would have been unclean. However, that's not how it goes, because when she touched the garment of Jesus, the woman was made whole. And just like when we come to Jesus with our sin and confess our sin to Jesus, it doesn't make Jesus a sinner, but it makes us forgiven. So immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately, knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" But his disciples said to him, "You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" Because of her uncleanness, this woman was embarrassed to approach Jesus openly. This personal thing women go through. And to approach Jesus, a man, with such a problem would never happen, especially in that culture. However, she was determined to push through the crowd, touching Jesus, the hem of his garment, secretly. Who would know if she did it in secret with all the people bumping into Jesus, right? However, he did know. He stopped, turned around in the crowd, and said, "Who touched my clothes?" You can imagine, she was frightened for her life. She was found out immediately. This woman, for such a bold move, in her unclean condition, she could have been stoned for breaking the law. So in this crowd of thousands of people, only two knew exactly what was going on. The woman and Jesus. The disciples didn't have a clue. Jesus knows what you're going through. Jesus knows your heartache, your trial. When we cry out to him, he knows who you are. So in this crowd, there were many people who touched Jesus, maybe wondering why they were not healed. You see, only one woman, only one, touched Jesus in faith and was healed. And there's a definite difference between people who bump into Jesus casually and those who come to him boldly by faith. And this is relevant to relationship. Christianity is a relationship with God in Christ. And so many people have a religious, casual relationship with Jesus, but never move past the veil and approach the throne to draw closer, to push in, to draw closer to Jesus. Now, when all this unfolded, Jesus had a choice. He could have let everything be. This woman could have touched Jesus in secret. No one would have known. She could have walked away. But that's not how it happened. So as Jesus looked around to see her who had done this thing, and the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell before Jesus, fell before him, and told him the whole truth, everything. And Jesus said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." So in this account, in the eyes of our Lord Jesus, this woman who approached him, who was unclean, unidentified, she went from a woman without a name to daughter of the king. And this is what faith in Jesus can do. It makes us children of God. Behold what manner the love of the Father has bestowed upon us, that we are called children of God. And this is what Jesus wanted everyone to see in this crowd. This woman lived 12 years of hell on earth. Society thought her as garbage, but not Jesus, not our Lord. Also note this, when coming to Jesus, this woman told Jesus the whole truth about everything. When we come to Jesus, when we come to the Lord, it's so important for us to be truthful with the Lord, confessing our sin before him. Now, before she made this decision, what if she listened to her doctors or religious spiritual leaders in authority over her, who, some religious rulers, said, "Jesus has a demon"? What if she listened to those dudes? Or what if she sought advice from false religious rulers who say, "You don't have to be born again. Oh, you don't have to go to Jesus. You don't have to go to Jesus. Just do good works." You see, good people don't go to heaven. Only forgiven people do when we come to Jesus. Oh, and today, don't go to Jesus. He is nothing but a religious hate monger. This woman had to battle this in her mind. What if she listened to her spiritual religious rulers, the Pharisees, who proclaimed Jesus was an illegitimate child born out of fornication? This woman pushed through these challenges and was rewarded. And I have to wonder how many people failed and believed these lies of the devil, failed to approach Jesus by faith. It's happening every day. It's happening every day. Today, people, our society, to come to Jesus, you have to push through evolutionary thought, thinking we are nothing but a series of biological mistakes over billions and billions of years. We're nothing but a genetic defect. For people to come to Christ, they have to push through atheistic psychiatrists and humanistic philosophies, all these things going on. This woman pushed through it all and came to the Lord. And in her mind, there had to have been, "What if I'm wrong? What if I'm wrong and they stone me?" In our life, in our Christian walk, and this is true. This is truth. No one escapes this. No act of faith we deploy in our life, in this world, goes unchallenged by the devil. Not one. And Jesus knew Jesus knew her inside struggle. Jesus knew her suffering from the time of her flow of blood to the time of her healing. Jesus knew all about her. Her hairs were all numbered, the Bible says. This was the path for her. This was a path laid out for her to bring her to Jesus. Going through this infliction led her to the Lord. Living with this illness for so long. And it wasn't an easy road, but who can argue with the results? Jesus said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your infliction." Her faith was rewarded. And she became a daughter of the King. I love it. You can argue. What was her greatest reward? A healed body or being declared a daughter of the King? Which leads me to a woman many know, Johnny Erickson Tada. She was a young lady swimming in the Chesapeake Bay, and she dove into shallow water and broke her spinal cord. And she became a quadriplegic. And she was asked a question. What would you change in your life if you could live it all over again? And she knew what this question meant. And she said this, "I'd rather be in this wheelchair knowing God than on my feet without him." This is what led her to the Lord. This was her path. To the woman with the flow of blood for 12 years, that was her path, finding the Lord Jesus Christ. So while all this was unfolding, the ruler of the synagogue, Jairus, was waiting, and time was ticking away on her daughter's life. I believe Jairus was happy for this woman, but his own 12-year-old daughter, her life was slipping away. So while he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" And so with this news, Jairus, his heart sank, knowing her daughter died. And in his mind, he has to be thinking, "Jesus, you took too long. You took too long, Lord." You see, this is a problem. This is a problem for us all. The timing of God is always a challenge in our life. When we live by faith, we want things to happen now. But it's a challenge. Waiting for God to move? We want action. But God's timing's always the best. And as soon as Jesus heard the word, the bad news which came from the messenger to Jairus, which was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not be afraid, only believe." You see, Jairus, he came this far. He waited patiently. And Jesus really just said, "Jairus, don't give up. Don't give up. Do not be afraid, only believe." So in other words, don't try to figure it out, just believe. So often we try to figure out things. How can God do this? If we're big enough to figure out God and everything he says and knows, then he wouldn't be God. And so Jesus follows Jairus, and he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw a tumult and those who wept or wailed loudly. And when Jesus came in, he said to them, "Why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." So in this house, there are, in that culture, professional mourners. Upon entering the house, the first thing Jesus did was silence the mourners. Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John. These three disciples are considered the inner circle of Jesus. And so he enters the room. And when Jesus entered the room, the funeral was over. He is the resurrection and the life. And says, this child is not dead, but sleeping. And this is the same word the Apostle Paul uses in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51, and 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 14. The term is only used for believers in Christ who die. And they ridiculed him. They ridiculed Jesus. But when he had put them all outside, he took the father and the mother of the child and those who were with him and entered where the child was lying. You see, Jesus wanted nothing to hinder the faith of Jairus and the child's mother in what he was about to do. There's always this element of faith, believing, and then there's the element of unbelief. We all battle this in our walk here on earth. Shall we believe God's word, or do we not believe God's word? And this is the battle line for all of us. The world doesn't have that problem. They don't believe in God's word. But for us, we're required to walk by faith, not by sight. Unbelief in God's children. It's what kept the children of Israel at the border at Kadesh Barnea for 40 years. They failed to enter the land God gave them. Go into the land that's yours. Just go take it. It's important for us to believe. How much faith do you need? I've heard a lot of teachings on this. How much faith do you need in your life? Jesus gave a wonderful, truthful, literal example. All you need is faith the size of a mustard seed. That's how much faith you need. Every time we approach Jesus by faith, we have to always overcome the wave of unbelief in our mind. And we need to put the doubters outside. We need to put these dark thoughts outside of our mind. We have to take control of them. We need to put every thought into captivity, as the Apostle Paul explains to us in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. Faith is believing God's will is always the best way. God's will is always the best way in our life. We know sometimes faith is moving, taking action. And sometimes faith is standing still, doing nothing. The battle is the Lord's, and which can be very hard not to do nothing. Believing in the word of God. In reality, is there anything we have received from God which is not by faith, beginning with our salvation? Beginning with our salvation. You see, God gave us the faith so we could believe on him. See, by grace through faith. So whatever faith we muster up in our need, Jesus will meet us there with the rest. Whatever faith we have, as small as a mustard seed, we're approaching a situation where the battle in our mind is tough and real and the enemy's pressing. He will supply the rest of the faith, the balance of it. He will. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13, the Apostle Paul writes to Pastor Tim, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. When we believe on Jesus the Christ and who he says he is, who he claimed to be, who he proved to be, God the Holy Spirit takes residence in our life. He cannot deny himself. He lives within us. If we are faithless, we don't have enough faith for this situation, he remains faithful. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. In our life, we know God is above all things. All things were made through him and by him. Without him, nothing was made that was made. You see, our faith, we have our prayers, never once can overrule the will of God in our life. He is our good, good Father. Our lives are committed to him, for better or for worse. And that worse is always for better, which we find out later. When Jesus healed people, there were times, there were those who were healed who had no faith at all. You see, Jesus supplied the faith which was needed. And so Jesus, he took the child by the hand and said to her, Talita Kumi, Aramaic, which is translated, little girl, I say to you, arise. Immediately the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age, and they were overcome with great amazement. But Jesus commanded them strictly that no one should know it, and said that something should be given her to eat. Here is written a portion of common sense. Jesus said she could use some food. And the reaction of Jairus and his wife, they were just overcome. They were overcome with great amazement. Jesus did not fail Jairus. And even though the messengers came, letting Jairus know your daughter died, don't bother the teacher, it's all over. And Jesus, with Jesus, it's never over. He is the resurrection and the life. Jesus did not fail Jairus, and he didn't fail the woman with the flow of blood either. And this is true also. He will never fail us. Never. In Hebrews 10, verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Jesus gave life back Jairus' daughter. Jesus gave life to the woman with the flow of blood for 12 years. We read it. We believe it. Question, would Jesus work on behalf of me? Would he work in my life in such a way? Charles Spurgeon said this, the glory of God's faithfulness is that no sin of ours has ever made him unfaithful.
Hi, you're listening to the Media Ministry of Calvary Chapel of Chestertown, which begins every Sunday morning at 8 a.m. For your convenience, WCTR has made available our Sunday messages in a podcast format, which you can play or download anytime from anywhere. Just go to WCTR.com and look for the Calvary Chapel link under podcast. Sunday morning service at Calvary Chapel begins at 10:30 a.m. For more information, go to calvarychapelchestertown.net.